Maybe.
We hope.
I don't know.
Adam Kramer. Adam, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas?
It's been a minute, but now we are 23 days away from camp starting at Utah. 22 days.
Yes.
Excuse me. 50 days away from the college football season starting. You excited? I know you are.
I'm really excited. I like SEC Media Days is like the unofficial start of overreacting, mainly, and also football. But, yeah, we're really getting there. My golf game is still average. That's probably not going to change. I'd like to play a few bad rounds before the season starts. And outside of that, I'll be at Big Ten Media Days, and then we get this thing going.
Utah opens with the Michigan Wolverines. We talked maybe a month or so ago. Give Utah fans, because you're located right there in the heart of Big Ten country, give Utah fans an idea. Harbaugh craziness aside, from a talent standpoint, how's this Michigan team going to look different from the one that Utah handled pretty easily at the Big House?
Yeah, it's hard to sift through the madness at this point, is it not, with Harbaugh mania. But, you know, it's a team that we have to figure out, because Brady Hoke, for his faults as a developer and as an X's and O's guys, and some faults with that, you're probably not wrong, recruited pretty well. So when you look at a kid like Jabril Peppers, who was the number one player in that class a year ago, he's back healthy, going to play him at safety and maybe have him returning punts. I mean, there is not a, there is talent here. There's not superstar talent. I think the big hole that you have at Michigan right now is quarterback. And Devin Gardner last year, of course, was turnover prone. Their offensive line has been a mess for the past few years, and as a result, they haven't been able to run the football consistently. And really offensively, I think a lot of their struggles start there. Those are not going to be fixed overnight. Defensively, I think this group can be pretty good. I like some of the players they have up front. I like some of the players they have in the back end. They lost a good corner in Blake Countess to Auburn, I believe. So it's a team that talent-wise is just so-so. It's not the team you're going to see in 3 years. If you're Utah right now or a Utah fan, I think you look and you look beyond the Harbaugh madness and you say this is a game we absolutely should win. Not only can we win, but we should be disappointed if we lose it. Harbaugh probably makes up for some of that in terms of what he can scheme and what he brings. I just don't think that influence is going to be felt right out of the gate.
It's interesting when we talk about the quarterback situation at Michigan. It's never a quick fix at quarterback, but it looks like Harbaugh kind of recruited a couple of people that he hopes will be a nice little Band-Aid, right? You've got not only the preps coming in, but a transfer from Iowa and Jake Rudock and John O'Korn, who had at least one great year at Houston. Are those guys potential starters, or is Jim Harbaugh probably leaning towards putting a guy in that he can develop over several years?
Yeah, you know, Morris, of course, is the guy that I think people are kind of, you know, leaning toward right now. Having watched a lot of Jake Rudock, I think that was a great kid to bring in. Offensively, Iowa really never allowed him to do much of anything. I know he can throw a seven, you know, like a screen pass, because he did enough of that while at Iowa. But in terms of his ability downfield, he flashed some glimpses. The guy that's probably going to protect the football, I think that's something they absolutely need to do and do sort of a 180. So I look at Rudock as a guy that could really surprise, maybe that safe selection that could fit in. In terms of overall talent, Morris is probably the best bet. Certainly athletically, he can do a lot as this offensive line sort of figures itself out. These are not, by the way, you know, five-star names. These are not like quarterbacks of the future. I'm not sure if that guy exists, is on that roster just yet. But certainly, as you sort of bridge the gap to this new Michigan regime, I mean, these are guys that can at least get you some games where you feel pretty good about. They're competent quarterbacks, and he's going to have to pick from the bunch.
Adam Kramer's our guest here on the Bill and O.C. Show, national college football writer for Bleacher Report. Is this Michigan? I mean, Utah gets them at a perfect time. There's no preseason in college football. It's on the road. Utah's expecting a better season after a good season a year ago. It's the first time out for Harbaugh, it seems. So it's like you said, it's a great time to get them. Is this a team that you see getting better as the year rolls along? And I ask that because I think it's 3 weeks later BYU sees them up at the Big House.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a team that. The access with these players is so limited now, and you're not going to repair these things in the spring. You're not going to get all of the things you want in place in the spring. You're still going to have a team that's acquiring playbook knowledge up through those first few weeks camp. You're still going to have an orientation for a lot of these kids who are there in those first few weeks. So for me, from a timing standpoint, what you see at Michigan in that first 2, 3, 4 weeks, and it's a pretty brutal start to the season, by the way, when you look at the out-of-conference games for the rest of the Big Ten, maybe outside Wisconsin, who squares up with Alabama, Michigan really has a pretty tough road. They're not necessarily juggernauts, and that's nothing against Utah, but it's not necessarily Alabama. But, you know, you've got teams on there that you can and probably will be favored to lose against. So I think that Michigan team you see in that first month will be the worst Michigan team we see for as long as Harbaugh is there. There's no question about it. Assuming that he is able to recruit the way he has, and they've done a nice job here early on in the 2016 class, and there's no question that he'll be able to develop because we saw him do it at Stanford. It's not like this is a guy that doesn't understand the college game and what comes with it. They're going to be better. But again, the talent level just isn't there yet. It's not like they're going to get better throughout the year and then all of a sudden I think beat Ohio State. You're going to see the difference in that game dramatically as it closes out. But slowly but surely, I think you'll see the small things, the X's and O's. And if they do find a quarterback, then perhaps we have to just reshift the expectations altogether.
Adam Kramer of Bleacher Report is our guest, talking a little college football here on ESPN 700. Last year, in a lot of ways, Adam, was the year that Utah fans were waiting for in the Pac-12. You get a winning conference record, at least. You get to a bowl game. You finish things out nicely. But even after a quality 9-win season, the Utes finished 5th in their division in the Pac-12. And a lot of the preseason projections have them sitting there again, even though they're returning a lot of important players, a lot of starters. Do you see Utah being that team that's going to be okay, pretty good, but probably not better than 5th in the South, or do you have higher hopes for the Utes?
Well, I've got very high hopes for them. The problem is, I probably am saying that about more than a handful of teams in this conference. I hate to compare it to the SEC because the talk of, you know, conference pride and conference superiority is an exhausting conversation. We do it at end and it gets us nowhere. But let's just look at the Pac-12 for what it is, which is really good. You know, when you start with picking out favorites, I think you start with USC now, who is prone to finding themselves in losses that they maybe shouldn't. And then you have an Oregon team that has to replace the best player in all of college football, albeit with a couple of pretty good options. When I look at the conference, I start with those two teams. After that, I think it's really up for grabs. And those two teams, by the way, are not necessarily definitive locks either. I think UCLA is very interesting. A lot will rest on the arm of Josh Rosen, the true freshman there, who I think has a chance to be pretty special. But still, if you're going to start a true freshman, regardless of the talent around it, I think that's significant. I think Arizona State is a really nice team. Mike Mercovici, who played last year when Taylor Kelly went down, has a chance to be a really good player, but he's not going to be thrown to Jalen Strong anymore at wide receiver. I think that hurts them, so they have some questions. You look around elsewhere, Arizona, of course, had a nice year. Even though maybe it didn't end the way that people wanted. I think Utah is right in that mix. You know, I put maybe two teams right above, and then you have a large pool of teams that are going to start in the top 20 or top 25, and at least they should. And a lot of that will depend on situational moments. Does the kick go in? Do you get up for that next road game after a big home win? I think ultimately that's what's going to dictate Utah's season because they're going to run the football exceptionally well. They still have some pretty good talent on the defensive side, and quarterback you have pretty good hope for. So, again, they have everything I look for in this conference, everything you need to win this conference, and it's going to be a really, really good year for the Pac-12 again.
Speaking of quarterback, Travis Wilson is a fourth-year starter coming back. Got the job halfway through his first year. He has had that proverbial up-and-down, love-hate-type career with Utah fans, but he is a fourth-year starter. His numbers were solid a year ago, even though he had a coordinator that didn't like him and basically schemed against him in Dave Christensen. He still managed 2,200 yards, 18 touchdowns, and he went from about 17 interceptions the year before to 5 last year. Where does Wilson, and because to me, he's kind of the fulcrum between a good and a very good season. Where do you see Wilson having to be for Utah, if I ask you today, Adam, for them to take that step? What kind of a year does he have to have?
I would say just good. I don't necessarily think he needs to be exceptional. If you want to teeter toward very good, and obviously this will depend on expectations, look at who he's handed the ball off to. And I know nationally we don't give that young man enough credit. And when you talk about the year of the running back, that should change. But from a dynamic standpoint, you have an arm that he has back there, you can change the defense completely. And when you can run the football like the way that they should be able to, that can change the defense completely. So I don't think we're all of a sudden going to see him air it out a ton. I don't think he's going to be throwing the ball, you know, 55 times a game. You know, they're not going to be Washington State all of a sudden. But I do think you can take advantage of the things he can do with the football in the air, and you can take advantage of what defenses are going to do to you first, which, again, is stop the run. I mean, that's what they're going to try and do. So ultimately, it will come down to the mid-range throws. It will come down to kind of how you scheme against it and putting him in situations to do well. But from an expectation standpoint, you're right. Ball security was a huge improvement. Now that you can add a little bit of playmaking to that, and there are a lot of teams that do that are doing this. I, you know, speaking of SEC Media Days, Arkansas, that's a perfect example. A team that runs the football well just needs to have a hint of that playmaking that ultimately could change an offense entirely. I look at Utah the same way. You don't have to be dramatically different. You just have to be a little bit better.
Where does Devontae Booker stack up with some of the other elite backs in the country for you? Utah fans obviously have a very lofty opinion of him, but is he is he on the same plane as Ezekiel Elliott and Nick Chubb and some of the guys, Samaje Perine, some of the guys out there that are going to get a lot of love early on?
Yeah, I mean, the big question, I mean, right now the physical beast out there, Ezekiel Elliott is 225 pounds, Leonard Fournette, 230 pounds, Nick Chubb, 230 pounds. I think those three, from a physical talent standpoint, are probably the three best backs in the country. And Perine, of course, is right up there as well. But I put him right in the mix there. You've got guys like Jalen Hurd at Tennessee, Paul Perkins at UCLA delivered, you know, leading rusher in a great conference last year, and nobody talks about him. Go up, Northwest, Royce Freeman at Oregon, who had a fabulous freshman year. You've got freshmen, you know, this freshman class of running backs. Dalvin Cook, obviously, at Florida State. Who knows what the future holds with him, but from a sheer talent standpoint, there was no doubting what he could do with the football in his hands. So it's a really good time. I think what bothers me a bit is that, you know, when I watch Booker run, there is certainly an attitude in a good way where he runs with just wanting to punish people and just absolutely wanting to punish them. And he also has the physical attributes and speed to go with it. That's why I think he's one of the most enjoyable guys to watch run, because he runs with purpose. And there is a violent nature to it that, as a fan of the sport, I just you know, attracted to. I don't know why he hasn't heard his name called as much as some of the other ones I've thrown out there. He should. I mean, that's the kind of talent he is. I think ultimately, if he performs well against Michigan in a game that the entire nation is going to be watching, and there's no reason to believe he won't perform well, I think you'll start to see that change.
Adam, we've got the SEC Media Days and the circus that is rolling right now and wrapping up in Alabama. You mentioned the Big Ten Media Day. You know, SEC gets a lot of headlines. I mean, Urban seems to have kind of the proverbial stranglehold right now on the conference. I know D'Antonio does a terrific job at Michigan State, but we saw what Urban did. He's got the three quarterbacks. I mean, is that going to be the storyline? I mean, We saw Urban work his magic here, and he found this guy named Alex Smith who was buried on the depth chart and made something out of him, and oh yeah, he's now an NFL quarterback. And I guess I would just ask you, what's the storyline out of Big Ten Media Days coming up, and is it Ohio State and everybody else in that conference right now?
Well, I think the storyline will be the quarterbacks, the three quarterbacks at Ohio State. If Braxton Miller is healthy as advertised, I think that's the biggest storyline in college football. I don't think you're going to get much out of Urban Meyer. You could try. I don't think that's where he's going to tip his hand. But certainly none of those guys are going to be in the building. So good luck. But certainly I think it starts with the national champions, not just because of the quarterbacks, but also the sheer amount of talent that they have. And we could go on and on about where they are the deepest in the country. And it's a lot of places. But, you know, again, Big Ten as a whole, I think Harbaugh, because we really don't have anything to go to judge on the field, he's always a fascinating soundbite, good or bad. I mean, the interviews he's done have been sort of glorious train wrecks at times. You don't know what he's going to say. You don't know if he's going to say anything from a soundbite standpoint. I think I'm very interested to see how he handles himself. And, yeah, Michigan State and Penn State are sort of the here we are teams. Don't forget about us. Michigan State especially. They're going to be a top eight team this year. They have Connor Cook, one of the best quarterbacks in the country, a guy I really enjoyed talking to last year. I'm interested to see what the mentality is, if they feel like they're being overlooked, because talking to some of their players last year, that was the case. Now even more so. And And then obviously James Franklin at Penn State. Still kind of dealing with the sanctions, especially with the offense and defensive line where the numbers really hurt them. But you have a quarterback in Christian Hackenberg that looks good, and you're starting to see some of the recruiting impact and what that's going to have. I think Penn State and Franklin, of course, always knows how to steal the show. I think they'll make a bit of noise as well.
Has the bubble burst, or are we watching it burst tragically, slowly on Florida State?
Well, here's the thing. I think this is no doubt a reputation they do not want to own or anything they want any part of. And I think you're starting to see a sense of urgency with that as Jimbo's speaking up, as the president is speaking up. But the harsh reality of this is that business is going to continue to do well. You're not seeing a sudden slew of decommitments. You know, the 2016 class, they have one of the best quarterbacks in the country in Malik Henry. I mean, they have, until this impacts your business, which is, of course, it comes down to money and it comes down to talent, I don't necessarily think you're going to see a dramatic change. Now, you need to get this under control. There's no question about that. You need to put items in place that will limit this, because it's a horrible look for your school. And ultimately, it could have an impact on your enrollment and things of that nature. That's when the bubble will start to burst. But from a football business side, and I don't want to sound callous here, because I certainly don't view it that way. These are horrible things that are being alleged and things that are being done, things that we've seen. But I also don't necessarily think you're going to see a dramatic change. I think Jimbo Fisher is going to keep his job. I think they need to fix things, because right now the reputation is just horrid. And from a football standpoint, from a pure football standpoint, I think this is a team that's probably still going to be very good for years to come.
How soon till Florida's good again?
Now that's a different element, because in terms of talent, you talk about trying to find a quarterback. Goodness gracious, that's a team that's been looking for it. Jeff Driscoll was a five-star kid who came in with a 230-pound frame, looked like Tebow Light, just didn't work out. Now Treyon Harris is a different guy, 5'11", 190 pounds, but a guy that can really throw the ball. Is he your quarterback? I think certainly if you're a Florida fan, you like the late returns of the recruiting class, the fact that they were able to land two of the nation's best players, and an elite offensive lineman, an elite defensive lineman. I think that's promising. The other thing that's promising is you have a coach that knows how to coach offense. If you're building a team at this point, not that defense is dead, that's where I start. It's turning into more of a passing sport, and ultimately having a guy like McElwain there who's done it, who's coached it, did a heck of a job at Colorado State, I think that would help. But this is, to me, when you look at the players and the talent around them and who they have to compete against, is a long-term fix. I don't think Florida is back to what we expect them to be this year or next year. I think this is a project that's going to take probably 3 to 5 years.
Who's going to get the most clicks on Bleacher Report? Like, what player are we going to be most intrigued by this college football season as a nation?
I hope I'm covering him, and that's the story that I write, first and foremost. I'll say this. I'm working on some profiles leading into the year. I think it starts in Ohio State. Insert starting quarterback here. I think the personalities, like from a coaching standpoint, whether it be Harbaugh or Meyer or Saban or Spurrier, who again delivered at SEC Media Days, is always interesting. I think a kid like Deshaun Watson from Clemson, I think has a chance to be unbelievably special at quarterback. If he can stay healthy, I believe he can be the face of college football. I think there are, you don't have those overwhelming personalities from years past. If you remember that SEC Media Days with Johnny Manziel and Clowney, I don't necessarily think you have that, but you do have some great teams. You have some great storylines. Look at Trayvon Boykin and the Big 12 for TCU. I look at Baylor and one of the deepest teams they have, and sort of that revenge storyline, if you want to call it that, as they try and get into the playoff. I think there are a ton of interesting storylines, starting with Ohio State and their sort of road to hopefully repeating, and certainly well beyond that. No absence of personalities or really good players. So I think in terms of what will attract most, there will be plenty to go around.
That is Adam Kramer, national lead college football writer for Bleacher Report. A great follow on Twitter at Kegs and Eggs. Adam, thanks for joining us. We'll be talking with you hopefully very frequently this approaching and upcoming football season. Thanks for joining us.
Can't wait, guys. Have a good one, and we'll talk soon.